Thank you very much for having me today. It's really an incredible honor to be here. Oh, okay, thank you. And feel free anytime. If you can't hear me, let me know. It's an honor to be here today for many, many reasons. And, you know, Rashida Rabbanim that are here, and my executive dean, Dr. Burns, from my medical school. And also just to follow Rabbi Dr. Reichman is a huge, big honor, a huge, big deal for me. He has an advantage. He's been a scholar in residence at my shul, the Riverdale Jewish Center. So being part of rabbinics, you learn to speak on Shabbos without any technology. The slide set isn't up, but it is here. So everybody in the audience gets to basically have a day at Einstein, but not Einstein 2013. But Einstein before we had computers and technology. And just by show of hands, how many people here actually were able to learn something when they were once upon a time in school without a computer? Okay. Anybody here were able to function without an iPhone? Okay. I graduated in 1985. I've been doing this for quite a while. I do not think actually, and I know you're here, Dr. Burns, I'm not sure our students are learning that much more, that much better with all the new technology we have. I think we have to teach and learn a little different. So this is going to be an adventure for me too today, and I hope we can do this together. I'd also like to start with the Dvar Torah. I usually end with it, this actually is not mine. It's Dr. Carl Skorecki, who's actually collaborated with Einstein, with myself and some other excellent scientists at Einstein, who's also Talmud Chacham. He's also Lumden, but he's also a really world-renowned geneticist at the Technion, about what we say in Pirkei Avot, about Aaron, actually, about the students of Aaron, right? What does it say in Pirkei Avot? That you should be like, right? You should be like the students of Aaron. You should what? You should love peace, pursue peace. Now, it's very interesting. That's one of the defining moments of Jewish genetics. A Kohen is always the son of a Kohen, is the son of a Kohen. As you know, there's been many studies that actually demonstrate that's the case. But when it came time, Pirkei Avot didn't say be like the sons of Aaron. What does Pirkei Avot wish for all of us to be and to teach our children? Be like the students. Learn Torah, learn peace, learn justice. And you heard an absolutely brilliant talk about the future of genetics and all the crazy stuff that's going on that makes the learning of Torah, the love of Torah, much more fundamental. If you think about it, it grounds you. It's not what's in our DNA. Ultimately, it is what we teach our children, and it's programs like this morning. So I just want to thank you very much for having this program and having us here. I'm also speaking, it's a great privilege actually, I'm speaking amongst all the other work I do. I am a very proud member of a program called the Program for Jewish Genetic Health. Please look at it. It's basically the first two slides, and it's something that if you don't know about, it's really what I want you to have a very good feel for. Here's our brochure. But this is a program that could only have been done at YU and Einstein. It could not have been done anyplace else in the world. We are the university with a Jewish medical school. That is Einstein. It exists not just for the Jewish community. It exists to take our Torah values and bring them to the world at large. After many years, and again, it's a great source to have Dr. Burns here, Einstein has supported this, but there is a program called the Program for Jewish Genetic Health of Yeshiva University, co-sponsored with Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And the purpose is, if you look, it doesn't say the Jewish genetic disease. When you open the paper, when you hear about all these other programs, what are you always hearing, right? Jewish genetic disease, Jewish genetic disease. But again, that's not our Torah, right? What's our Torah? Health. So the fact that that's this program, that it exists here and that's what it's about, I'm very, very proud of. It's been actually percolating for a very long time. It's been official, I guess, for the past few years. Mr. Bruce Landers, head of our development and program development, is here. Please feel free to speak to me if you have any questions about the program as well. And its mission is very simple. Again, it represents the values of who we are in our Pirkei Avot. There, nobody should not have access to cutting edge care because they either can't afford it or they don't have the education to know better. And that the most important thing, you can see it's slide to research and support. How many of us have been ill and have had no idea where to go? Really, right? It's the most frightening thing in the entire world. I'm a physician, and when I am ill, but even more so when I have an illness in the family, it is terrifying. Genetics, you heard an incredible talk just a few minutes ago about all the stuff that's going on and how complicated it is. It's just frightening. The idea that anybody, and again, it's a Jewish program, that any Jew anywhere in the world should be able to access a home and not be afraid because, really, you know, Kol Yisrael, Areinu Zeh LaZeh, we belong to each other. The reason, as you heard, I do have a professorship in obstetrics and pediatrics and genetics. My love is genetics because, you know, obstetrics, I love being part of the great adventure of bringing life to the world. I love pediatrics because, you know, the parents I could do without sometimes. The children are absolutely wonderful. But genetics is family. You never diagnose a single person. They inherited from somewhere else, and they will pass along to the next generation. And which, again, if you think about in terms of Torah, is always our theme, which is why you came into existence in the first place. We've run a lot of programs. You'll see the list there on slide number 4. I'm sorry they're not numbered because I didn't realize we wouldn't have the show here for you. So we obviously, we've gone into shuls, but because also YU is so networked, all really of the Orthodox pulpits in this country are YU grads, one way or the other, will have interacted with YU or have alumni from YU. So our network is really truly vast, but we want to reach out beyond just our world. The Federation is one of our partners and co-sponsors. They love the work we've been doing. I can only tell you that participating in this program in any way is a Kiddush Hashem, top to bottom. The overview today, and I don't have a lot of time, but you can see slide number 5 where it says overview. Is going to be some basic genetics. And again, you're going to have a genetics class that we give at Einstein. One of the things that Eddie mentioned about appreciating Hashem and everything that you see in biology and the miracle of it is what I hope to show you today is how simple it is. The genius in the biology of genetics is actually its simplicity. So everybody who leaves here today, I promise, will understand the basic dogma of genetics that explains everything of the lecture you heard just a few minutes ago. I want to talk to you about Jewish genetics, particularly about carrier screening. As Rabbi Willigut said, it's a pikuach nefesh issue. So you have to know about this when you go out because you're going to go save a life as soon as you leave this room. Options for carrier couples, just briefly, so that you know what's out there, the basic technology, the new technology, and a little bit about the future. Again, Dr. Ehrman was nice enough to share slides with me. I knew he was going to give you the cutting edge lecture, but I want to give you a little bit of a cutting edge. Again, we'll close about our program and some of the exciting new things we're doing here. I'm going to talk to you, I believe, about the future of Torah Umada, and then maybe hopefully a few minutes for questions and answers at the very end. So basic of genetics and inheritance. Turn to that really beautiful slide. It's a dark blue slide of the DNA molecule. I hope everybody has it. It's on the bottom if you have a slide set of 4. You paid for this slide. You own this slide. It is from the Department of Energy. It's from the Human Genome Project. It was paid with taxpayer dollars. So that you own, okay? You bought it, you own it. One of the wonderful things, by the way, I don't want to digress too much, but there is definitely now in Congress that every publicly funded study should be made available to the public. It is a long time in coming, but I believe it's actually going through right now. And again, I will leave it to the rabbi to discuss what happens if you pay for something, whether or not you have ownership, but I believe you do. Now, the beautiful thing about the DNA molecule, every human cell, except actually mature red cells, but otherwise every cell has DNA in it, and everybody has exactly the same DNA. It defines us as humans opposed to ears of corn. Okay, if you look at that strand, you know you're human. We're one human family because of that. It actually relates to the halakhic issues you heard about in terms of species in Kalayim. We all have 46. That's our magic number. The reason we're 46, we're packaged. And if you read, it says 2 meters of DNA. That's the truth. If you put all our DNA in every cell and laid it out, it's 2 meters long. So you have to package it. Men might not understand this, women will understand this very well, okay? Where do we hang our nice jewelry? Okay, if you threw all our jewelry into a box, it'd be an absolute mess. You have to hang it properly and you have to put it together in separate boxes. Otherwise, it's just an absolute mess. That's why we have 46 chromosomes. Think of it like strands of pearl necklaces. You have to put them in separate boxes in the jewelry drawer. Otherwise, what are you going to have, right? You're never going to have it on time before you have to get to your next customer. Not going to happen, okay? That's the genius of the packages. Now, the other issue, though, is each strand of pearl, okay? You have a string of pearls, you have your necklace, but each pearl is actually the genes. Those are the genes. So you have the packaging, which is the necklace, but you can have a defect in the whole, you could have a whole necklace missing. You can have an extra necklace, that's actually Down syndrome. An extra chromosome 21, you have Down syndrome. But you can knock out a pearl, and that's Tay-Sachs. Okay, and that's it. That's actually all of genetics, right there on that slide. Now, go to the next slide. You see all those letters? Okay, you own that too. That's public access website. It's the Human Genome Project. When you hear about it, that's all it is. They put all these letters. Those letters are just molecules. They're base pairs. Again, genius of the system, there are only four. There are only four letters representing four molecules. The order of the molecules determines whether or not you have a functional gene. That's it. Now, anybody know of any text that we're supposed to really study, actually every single day of our lives, that has no punctuation, just the letters, right? It's the Gemara, okay? You're looking at God's Talmud. It's right there. The trick of the Human Genome Project now is we got all the letters, we're still learning where do you put the punctuation, okay? It's exactly the same situation that we learn every day. It's actually very odd. For us, it's a very intuitive thing to be learning a sefer that has absolutely no punctuation. Show that to anybody else, and they will look at you like you have two heads. There's actually, I don't know other cultures, but certainly within our English tradition, you would never be studying a book without punctuation. The scientists all over the world, including, you know, our medical school, are just looking at these letters and figuring out, okay, where does it stop? Where does it start? That's it. Okay, so now, and I'm really not trying to be facetious in any way, you now know the basics of everything that there is to know and love about genetics. You can skip the next slide about the DNA sequence diversity, but genetic typos. Now you're gonna learn what a mutation is. It's a typo, that's it. A letter got switched or put in a wrong place, or a whole bunch of letters got moved into a wrong place, or a whole bunch of letters fell out, that's a mutation, and that's all it is. It's nothing more than that. Now, why don't we all look the same? Why don't we all look the same? As a group we do, but obviously there's nobody in the room except identical twins, and even they have some very interesting differences. But their DNA actually is the same. And we all look different because every few thousand of these letters, we have a little bit of a change. You have to have change. Change is very, very important. It is what keeps us healthy, actually keeps us alive. If, heaven forbid, all look the same, all you need is one lousy bacteria, we're all gone. So part of the idea of having change there is actually to keep us all healthy. So what is Tay-Sachs? If you take a look at the slide that kind of has a big stop sign on it, it's on the bottom. If you have a series of four, you'll see a stop sign there. Now, Tay-Sachs, the top line is the letters. Remember, there's only three letters. Every three letters codes for an amino acid. And what happens in Tay-Sachs, this is the common Jewish mutation, and I'll explain that in a minute because it matters. See, there's a box, T-A-T-C. It's just four molecules that got inserted by accident a long time ago, and it completely throws off the amino acid to the point that it says, anybody see in the circle, it says TGA, and then it says stop underneath it. It's the last set of three letters. That's called a stop codon. When you have TGA, it means stop making the protein. The factory shuts down, 5 o'clock, go home. Okay, that's what TGA means. It's a stop. Now, you don't see it on the top in the normal gene. You keep making more amino acids and you make this beautiful enzyme that is going to lead to health. But if you have those four letters inserted, it throws off the system and it stops too early and you never make the protein, which is a hexosaminidase. It's an enzyme. But regardless, it stops. TASAX. That's all it is. Four letters. Now, let's move towards that now basic knowledge of genetics and let's talk about diseases and carrier screening. So, if you go to the slide that says genetic, it's on the next page. It should be your first slide, those of you who have four. Genetic disorders within the Jewish community. So now we can do some very interesting Jewish history. So there are diseases that are specific to certain Jewish groups. Tay-Sachs, familial dysautonomia, really Ashkenazi diseases. There is no such thing as Sephardi disorders, by the way. The Sephardi disorders are more broken up by their country of origin. So Iraqi Jews have something called Lanzmann thrombosthenia. There will not be a test on this when you leave. Glycogen storage disease number 3, Moroccan Jews. And then you have diseases that are shared among all Jewish groups. Factor 11 deficiency actually is a bleeding disorder. It's actually pretty common that you bleed a little bit more easily than others. BRCA1 actually has some commonality. So for those who have interest in Jewish history, which mutation do you think would be older in time? The one that affects all Jews or the ones that might affect a specific Jewish group? Which one would be older? All Jews, exactly, good. So now you actually have a good understanding of how these mutations came about. And it's all very much about Jewish history and actually also about halacha, in a sense. Now the next slide, it says founder effect. So to explain this very simply, we have to get away from thinking that we have all these Ashkenazi, we have all these Jewish diseases, so Jews are sick, okay? That's absolutely so not the case. It's actually just a function of history. And the way it works is like this. If you were a Jew, let's say back in the Pale of Settlement, my background is more Hungarian, but I'm sure we have some here who are more Russian, you know, even more Eastern European bent. Let's say you were a Jew living in the Pale of Settlement, and you get the word, pogrom is coming, and you say, I'm leaving now. You know, you take your family, and you go. Now, if you take a look, the original population is that first area there. Let's say one in 100 people carry that change that I just described. For example, a few extra letters, a few extra base pairs. Now, he says, I'm just taking my family. You know, the 10 of us are leaving. We're going someplace else. That's the middle picture. See, he picked up and left. Sadly, many of you can appreciate, those were the lucky ones. Sometimes they stayed in the community and they got there and wiped us out and we were only left that small. But I'm being more positive. Let's say we're able to get out. But now it's not 1 in 100 anymore. Okay, it's 1 in whatever grouping he took out with him. And the next thing you need is to make a lot of kids. So the ratio of the mutation goes from 1 in 100 to much smaller. It's only that group. And that's why there are mutations specific to Jews, okay? And actually, I'll explain shortly, that's actually a very good thing, believe it or not, because it makes it a lot easier to find what the problem is. But that's Jewish genetics. So there's nothing about us specifically. In fact, who else has Tay-Sachs? Does anybody know who else has Tay-Sachs? And I'm from Canada originally, so this was this was not news to me. French Canadians. They do not have our mutation. They have high risk of Tay-Sachs. They came over in the boat from France, settled in a small part in Quebec. And Montreal was one of the biggest centers for Tay-Sachs in the 70s for screening because they had the Jewish community that came to Montreal. I don't know if any Montrealers here. I'm from Toronto, but Montreal has very, you know, lovely Jewish community. And they screened French Canadians at the same time. Okay, so that's very important to always remember when you're reading about all these, you know, Ashkenazi, oh my God, you know, we all have these terrible diseases. Absolutely not true. Now, the next page is from my colleague and friend, who's now professor, Dr. Harry Osterer at Einstein, has a wonderful paper from 2001 where he tried to point out in history where these mutations came from. And that was that issue I was mentioning about you can track older and you can track newer. So if you take a look, Gaucher, very old. And it dates about the time that Jews went to the Rhineland in about the around 800 or so. You can see cholesterol. Jews do have mutations for high cholesterol. That happens, they think, maybe in the 1300s. That's when Jews got to Lithuania. You see it in Lithuanian Jews. But there's also something called idiopathic torsion dystonia, which is another very important disorder, around 1600s. Anybody, Jewish history, any trauma that happened to our world in the 1600s? Pardon? Yeah, the Chamonix massacres are 1600s. So that one dates, you can actually date these through various statistical analyses to the 1600s. Now, what's very important is, we hear about these diseases, they're in a carrier state. There's a picture with some dolls in it. You can see it should be the bottom last slide if you have a grouping of four. The most important thing there is that if you're a carrier, you're healthy. End of story. Again, the genius of the system is that you inherited from your mother, you inherited from your father. A lot of these enzymes, as long as you have 50% of your enzyme working, in fact, some disorders, if you have 10% of your enzyme working, you're 100% healthy. It's only when you lose both that you end up with no enzyme function and very sick. That's why caries are healthy. It's for no other reason. And again, it's the genius of the system. So let me take you through the next set of slides. Okay? You're going to see a picture on the top. It says carrier. Everybody see that? Okay, you're a healthy carrier. You knocked out, the arrow knocked out one copy, but you got lots of enzyme left. You're incredibly healthy. If you're affected, you've knocked out both. Okay? Now, the bottom two pictures for most of you. In the next generation, you have a 50-50 chance of passing along that the copy that's not working well. Okay, 50-50, because you have two, your child's only going to get one copy. And then the child will get the copy from, you know, your wife or your husband will contribute the other copy. Again, and that's just very elegant biology, actually. Now, what often happens is, because caries are so healthy, we often hear, we can't possibly have any genetic problems in our family. Everybody's healthy. Look at the next slide. It says, not in our family. Of course, everybody is healthy. Carriers are healthy. Okay? The carrier state is silent. And that's the messaging from that slide. So how does inheritance happen? Again, some of you will have had, you know, biology background, some won't. But again, it's very simple. If two carriers get together, see it says recessive inheritance. If two carriers get together, it is just random chance if you send both copies that aren't working to a child. It's actually, it's easier with the slide set, but basically it's a 1 in 4 chance that you will have a child that got both copies not working. 1 in 4 chance for every couple. So that's why everything is fine until it's not, okay? There's no carrier in my family, there's no carrier in your family. Those two families get together, and then 1 in 4 chance both people are carriers. Now, it says, what are Jewish genetic diseases? And I think we just explained a lot about that. Tay-Sachs is the one we all know about, but the fact is that over time, because of the Human Genome Project, there are many, many more disorders. And if you turn to the next page, it says on there glycogen storage disease. Underneath, you would have seen it on the slide, but we had Tay-Sachs. Anybody know of any more? Familial dysautonomia? Canavan disease is one you might have heard about. Cystic fibrosis, very important, because there's an example of a disorder that is in everybody. We test every pregnant woman for cystic fibrosis. It's as common in people from Ireland and Northern England as it is in us, but it's actually much easier to test in Jews because we have only a few of those changes. So we're actually very lucky that way. If you look at the bottom, it says 1 in 4. 1 in 4 people in this room are carrying something. Look around the room. 1 in 4. That's a real number. Okay? Now, the important thing is that actually, in terms of couples, there's only 1 in 100 couples that are going to have a problem, but 1 in 4. And that's why when you leave the room today, you need to know that, and you need to know, make sure your kids know that, and whoever needs to know, that they should know. And again, we'll see in a minute that the point of knowing is it's completely, completely avoidable and preventable. Now, you also see a slide next, why, when, where, and how to screen. It all depends on the community you're in. In the halachic community, it very often depends on asking a rav. I've spoken here at YU before. You know, there's always been the great debate about Dor Yesharim and not Dor Yesharim. By and large, again, I have Rebbein here, so I'm going to defer to them. By and large, including Rav Tendler and including some of the Rebbein here today, the idea in our world is knowledge is power. And people travel, they move, to be able to hold your report in your hand and know exactly what the issues are is much more reflective, I believe, of a Torah Umada approach. We do screening programs on YU. There's one that's upcoming, obviously cleared by the Rebbein here, that people should know it's absolutely okay and appropriate to know what your health status is. Because that's the stream of Yahadus, I believe, that we represent. Now, what if you're identified, what if you are a carrier? Can see, what if you are identified as a carrier? So first of all, number one, if 1 in 4 people have something, there's no stigma to it, it makes no sense. Okay, it's just part of who we are. The only stigma should be if you don't do anything about it, okay? But if you are a carrier, you're a carrier. We have genetic counselors within our own program that are there to help. We have very generous supporters. If there's anybody in the audience who also wants to help support this program, you know, of course, please speak to us. But again, we provide that service so that nobody is ever alone if they want to know what it means to be a carrier. And again, it's all about really appropriate communication. Now, options. I'm just going to leave that slide for you to look at. This is just, again, in the interest of time, what are the options if you're a carrier, and what are the options if you're a carrier couple? Again, it depends on the community, if you're a Reformed Jew, unaffiliated, conservative, if you're part of the YU community, if you're out in Williamsburg. It's going to depend on the community that you are in. But even for couples, and again, remember, let's say you got married and you got screened, everything was fine. Over time, there are new disorders. Every time you get pregnant, you need to check again. So you're already married, okay? What do we do? And again, we work very, very closely with Rebbein in the YU community about this all the time. They're extraordinarily knowledgeable and helpful. And again, the bottom line is shalom bayis and a healthy baby. Okay, that's all that matters. So what are the options for carrier couples? Just to, again, review with you the classic way, if you're already a couple, you're already married, the classic way that's always been offered is prenatal testing. You can take amniotic fluid and the baby sheds cells into the water. It's actually, couldn't care less about the fluid, we throw that out. But we spin the fluid and the cells fall out. Remember my first thing I said to you, every cell in the body has your complete DNA. You just need a cell. We analyze the cell, and that's all that amniocentesis is. Chorionic villus sampling, some of you might have heard about. We do that earlier. We can take a piece of the placenta, not the baby, the placenta. Why does this work? Because when all of us were a few days old, literally a few hours to days old, we split into two. Half of us became us, and half of us became our placenta. So because it's basically a clone, it started from the same cell, you can take from the placenta and it reflects the baby as well. Now, it's breaking my heart. There's a slide there. You can see a tube holding onto a cell. So I actually had a video, and I'll be happy to come back to share this with you one day. But you can see it very well beneath the amniocentesis picture. That's what we all looked like at a few days. Okay, after fertilization, we all looked exactly like that. We were 8 cells. All the cells were more or less the same, clones of each other. And what we do for what's called pre-implantation genetics is that we use in vitro fertilization. So you take sperm and an egg in the dish, you grow up to 8 cells, and then you become what's called this blastocyst. And do you see how we can suck out a single cell into a tube? Can everybody see that in the picture? Okay, it's on the bottom. You can see part of the cell already getting schlepped up the tube. Okay, that's all there is to it. That's a biopsy. It's called a blastomere biopsy. If that cell is healthy, then you implant the embryo and you're good to go. If you pull out that cell and it's a Tay-Sachs mutation, you're not going to implant that embryo. Again, I have Ravain here who can speak to the halachic import and impact of this technology, but I can tell you, you would not know, but there are many people in your community who made bris or who have very happy, lovely, beautiful looking children, and this is how it was done. They were carrier couples, they spoke to the Rav, they got into a program that knows what it's doing, and were directed to having this procedure done, and healthy, wonderful, beautiful babies. Okay, so that's really a miracle of science that we didn't have before. For those who are interested, the whole idea of cloning and all those issues, there is a lot of excellent medical literature on it, and actually, again, I've heard Rabbi Dr. Redman speak about this, an expert in the field as to the halachic implications of this as well, and there are other Rabbein here at YU who, again, really world experts on this subject. Now, the future. For the future, I wanted to take you back. Does everybody see the picture of the bus on the bottom? Okay, can anybody see, you should be able to read what it says on the side of the bus. Operation Gene Screen Genetic Counseling Program, Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University. You know, YU can take such enormous pride in Einstein. That's the bus from the 1970s. In fact, Dr. Sashi Nakagawa, one of the doctors in the picture, who ran the lab for many years and is still with us, she's going to be retiring shortly. But it was the New York area. There were other programs as well, but and certainly in our area should bring incredible pride as to how many healthy babies were born. I'm a genetic, I'm a medical geneticist. I have never seen a case of Tay-Sachs. If I was practicing in New York in the 70s, it would be, sadly, my bread and butter, okay, of my specialty in the New York area. To say that a program actually took such sorrow and suffering out of the world, how many programs can say that? And I'm not sure many other yeshivas that could say that. Actually, I think I can only say one, okay? You can look at that sign and know that that's what our yeshiva did. Now, the glimpse into the future I just want to end with is I did make some fun about the technology issue, but, you know, I've got it right here. This is the truth. This is how we speak to each other now. Programs who don't know that and don't understand that will die. Okay, it's that simple. And more importantly, who are we trying to reach? We're all going to go out there again. You know, we're all 20-somethings here. But as we go out, it's my kids. Okay, it's my kids. And actually, it's not my kids. They're already here. It's my, please God, one day grandchildren. Okay, I'm actually worried about. And your grandchildren. That's actually who I care about. And they... This is how, they got two of them here, okay? This is how they hear, this is how they talk, and this is how we speak, and how we listen. So we need proper use, not only of talks like this, and again, there's a whole list of talks. We speak at UJA Federation. I'm flying out to Chicago to do a YU program there on Mother's Day, which I think is a beautiful day, actually, to talk, give this talk. But if you look at the last two slides, we're doing a launch on what's going to be called GeneSites, okay, with your help. This is going to be the preeminent website for Jewish genetic health, and I don't want to see disease anymore, okay? You know, Jews, we have enough tsuris to deal with, real tsuris, okay? Having to keep seeing the word Jewish genetic disease in our face every 5 minutes is not anything we need to inflict on ourselves. Jewish genetic health, this is going to be the website. For the program, we already have a website, but this program is going to be web-based talks and modules, very much like what I gave today, except it will be free, it will be easy access, and it's not just going to be about carrier screening. The carrier screening matters, it's important, okay? But cancer, okay? There are issues related to cancer in the Jewish community. Absolutely life-saving if we just got the word out about how to deal with it. We know of other genetic issues that are related. Parkinson's disease, it's not a simple disorder like I spoke about today. And if we ever want to do another talk, I'm happy to explain the more complicated diseases. Parkinson's, Crohn's disease, those more common disorders that may have some Jewish tie-in, okay? But it is about health. And I can't think again of a better Kiddush Hashem or better way of looking into what is the future of YU and Einstein than a program like this. So basically I'm here today not just to share my time with you and for you to give me the honor of speaking to you, but also to recruit you into our world, because it is a YU Einstein program. Actually, this is your project. And it's a responsibility. But again, it is something that is so valuable and so important, and I hope I've come full circle so that you can see why this might be a program that wouldn't exist anyplace else but here at the Schottenstein Center. I'm happy to take a few questions. I know I'm running late. We have one more speaker. And maybe like just a few, one or two questions. Yes? Yep. So being a geneticist, the question is, how does a perfect God make a typo? And it actually is an explanation for that question. I am an OB geneticist. I often have to tell parents at 20 weeks that their baby has a birth defect and the baby won't make it, or the baby's going to be born with terrible tsuris. Any rav has had to deal, I've had to get on the phone. And so that I'm actually going to punt over to the rebbein. But it is, we have a glimpse. The way I look at it is, these are the questions that people have been asking forever, okay? Asking forever how a perfect God can make imperfection. To me, the beauty of the science now is we get a glimpse, and the way I look at it, it's almost like Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, it's taken you guys a long time to figure this out, but you better do something about it, okay? That idea of being a partner, and that's why I love obstetrics. You don't need an obstetrician to have a baby, okay? I learned that very early on. But you're part of the process of having three partners in every creation. So, you know, to me, it's like this is a calling, right? You're hearing that, yes, there's a typo there, but I have given you the tools to make sure that you have healthy children. So you can't turn away and not help and do the right thing. That's the way, from my perspective, very personal, but in the back. The question is, if it's getting passed down from one generation to another, there's no stigma, but if there's an issue of mamzeris there. Again, very important, which is why you came this morning. You would not believe some of the things and the questions you hear. Some of the, like the pre-implantation genetics, there was one rav in Borough Park, much more of a Haredi perspective, you know, that is were we creating a golem, okay? Those questions, at first, you know, they sound silly, they're not. That's why these programs are so important, and that's why learning is so important. Not only is this not an issue of mamzerut, right? If you actually know what mamzerut is, you know this is not that. And if you know that you have a responsibility to promote health and you can't stand by if somebody is ill or may end up in harm, then you have to do something. So it's, again, please check with the rebbein here. It is not related to that in any way. Everybody passes down issues. Okay, go again. Oh, okay. It is and it isn't. Yes, it's like it's not mamzerut. Like mamzerut, who you marry and who you don't marry, is this similar in terms of who you marry and who you don't marry? Absolutely, it depends. Again, I was here at a great debate. Some rebbein say yes. The answer to this is everybody should get tested, everybody should know what they have, and do not date and get serious with somebody who has a mutation in the same gene that's an issue. That's 100% how some rebbein will deal with it. On the other hand, again, the text is, I believe, available. There's other rebbein who feel that that actually is not an issue and you can deal with it, that the bigger problem is we have too many unmarried young people, that that's actually becoming a bigger problem in the community, and that's we should deal with first, and you can deal with this after. There's halachic ways around it. So the answer to that is really simple. The rabbi sitting over there can answer that one. But it is a debate, actually, in the halachic community. So I just want to thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I actually have to run off, but thank you.